We're going to have a reading from the Bible now. We're going to have that reading from Matthew chapter 5. If you haven't brought a Bible with you, or you're not used to reading a Bible, we'd recommend that you have one. Please feel no embarrassment in just putting a hand up. One of our welcome team would love to bring you one. Matthew chapter 5. We're picking up a series, actually, so we're just carrying on what we would do every other Sunday. We have been working our way through Matthew's Gospel. And what we discover in Matthew's Gospel is that Jesus is the royal Son of heaven. He's the royal Son of God who has come to earth to gather to himself God's royal family. That's what we've been discovering as we've gone through Matthew's Gospel together. And so when we hit chapter 5, this bit that we're about to read, I want you to have in mind Meghan Markle. Now let me just explain why I mean that. Because Meghan was someone who spent her whole life living apart from the royal family. But at some point in her life, she married in and became a member of the royal family. And I'm sure that there are lots of things that she had to learn in terms of being a royal. Things you shouldn't say, things you should say. She had to learn what it was like to be a member of the royal family. And as we read this section of Matthew's Gospel, as we read Jesus' teachings, what he's teaching here is what it looks like to live as a member of God's royal family. He's teaching us what it looks like to live like royalty, but not the royal family of the UK, but God's royal family. So let me read verses 1 to 16, then we'll pray and we'll have a think about it together. Now when he, that is Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let's pray together and ask for God's help as we look at this part of his word. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it is given to us that we might be wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And thank you that it is given to us that we might be taught and trained and rebuked and corrected. And so, Father, please today, as we read this part of your word together, would it do those things for us, that we might learn what it looks like to live as part of your royal family. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a few moments' time, we are going to be baptizing 7 people. And that means that publicly today, 7 people are going to stand before us and declare to us that they are disciples of Jesus. Now, for some of us, that may raise the question, what does that mean? What does it mean to stand and say publicly, "I'm a disciple of Jesus"? What's happened to these 7 friends that we're going to baptize later? Maybe you know them personally and you're thinking, well, what's happened to this person? Where's all this come from? What are they doing, deciding to go down into a pool of water, being fully dressed and all that kind of stuff? What's happened to them? Well, that's where this reading that we've had from the Bible this morning helps us. Because I want to suggest to you today that it gives us the ABC of being a disciple. Hopefully something will come up on the screen in a second. I think it's, I put it in the wrong place. I'm sorry about that, Nick. But it's the ABC of being a disciple. The ABC, I want to suggest to you this morning, of becoming a disciple. The ABC of living as a disciple. The ABC of the benefits of being a disciple. And my hope is that as we look at this little portion of the Bible together, that it doesn't just explain to some of you this morning what's happened to those who are about to be baptized, but actually this morning it actually leads some of you to think, well, yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus too. And for some of you who hear, and perhaps you're already a disciple, you're saying, yeah, that's me, I'm a disciple, then for you I hope that it simply sharpens up what it means to be a disciple this morning. So here we go. Hopefully it's on the screen. Is it coming, Nick, or have we lost it? Oh, here we go. There we go. The ABC. See, I'm cheating. See, I'm going to go in reverse. The ABCD of what it means to be a disciple. Disciples are those who, first of all, come to Jesus and keep on coming to Jesus. I'm really sorry for those of you who come to this church regularly, because this is going to become every sermon illustration for the next year or so. But we recently got a puppy as a family. I know. It's just consuming our lives at the moment. But here we go. We've got this puppy, and one of the things that we've been trying to train this puppy to do is to come to us, so you can recall it. So the idea with this puppy, obviously, is that if it's caught doing something that it shouldn't be doing, or it's chewing one of my children, or it's chewing something in a field somewhere, then I can say, Coco, come here. I can call it, I can recall it, so that it moves away from what it shouldn't be doing, and it comes back to me. Now, in a similar way, a disciple is someone who has heard the call of Jesus to come, to leave what they're doing and to follow him. You see, that's what's been going on in Matthew's gospel up to this point. We don't have time to show you in any detail, but if you have got a Bible, let me just show you chapter 4 and verse 17. Jesus has been going around and he starts calling people. Listen to what he says. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. That word repent literally means leave what you're doing. Turn around. It carries this idea of change of mind. You're sorry for what's been happening and you turning somewhere new. Repent, Jesus says. And then in chapter 4, verse 19, he puts it in slightly different language, this time to a group of ordinary fishermen. But he says to them, come, follow me. He calls them. And then in chapter 4, verse 20, you'll see that at once they left their nets. That's what they were doing. That was their way of life. And immediately they followed him. Chapter 4, verse 25. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan. That's a large region. What did they do? They followed him. They had come to Jesus. Disciples are those who come to Jesus. Who leave what they're doing, who leave a certain path of life, who leave kind of a wrong way, leave what they shouldn't be doing, and they turn to follow Jesus. They attach themselves to Jesus. Disciples are those who have begun to recognize that before they encounter Jesus, there's something wrong with the way that we do life. There's something that the Bible would call sin. Which really isn't so much about the things that we do or that that's an outworking of it, but it's a way of life that says, God, I don't really want anything to do with you. And that is the life that Jesus calls us to turn from. And a disciple, you see, recognizes that as they hear the call of Jesus, there's something unique about him. There's something special about him. There's some authority and power he has. And as he calls us to turn from one thing and turn to him, we recognize that in him he's got some power to do something about it. See, his words, his teachings are very powerful. They draw people. Come, follow me. And this is pictured for us really helpfully in the opening words of the section that we read together today. So just look at verses 1 and 2. So Jesus has these large crowds following him, but when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Disciples come to Jesus, and Jesus teaches his disciples. That's the relationship. A disciple puts themselves under the authority of Jesus, recognizing, Jesus, we need you. You've got something we don't have, and we want it. Disciples come to Jesus. Now, that is the first thing. It's the ABC. That is the first thing that we have to understand about being a disciple of Jesus. That is what has happened to these seven friends that we are going to baptize a little bit later. They've come to Jesus. They've heard his call to come, to follow him. They've turned from kind of one way of life, recognizing that there was something wrong with the way that they were walking, and they have attached themselves to Jesus because they identify he has authority and power to do something about it. There's something unique about him. And I want to ask you this morning, you know, whoever you are this morning, have you ever come to Jesus in that kind of way? Have you begun to recognize there's something unique about him? And if you are a disciple this morning, do you keep on coming to Jesus? It's not a one-off. You keep coming to him because there's something unique about him. There's some wrong path we don't want to walk down, and there's a right way to go. Do you come to Jesus? That's the first thing about disciples. The second thing that I want to see about disciples is that they are blessed by Jesus. On New Year's Day, Francis and Patrick Connolly won £115 million. That's a lot of money. And do you know how the media described this couple that won £115 million? They described them as the lucky pair. That's how they described them. And in fact, the guy who won the money himself described himself as blessed in an interview. He said, well, we feel so blessed. But what he probably meant by that was, well, we never expected to win this money. We just bought a ticket like we do every week. And, you know, we never expected to find ourselves in this place. They hadn't earned it. This fortunate place had just found them. Now, I mean, which of us here, if you're honest, wouldn't like £115 million in a bank account? That would, we'd say of someone who had that sort of money in a bank account, they're pretty blessed, aren't they? But as Jesus sits down his disciples, and as Jesus begins to teach them, what we read together was nine blessings that Jesus gives to disciples. Nine reasons, if I could put it like this, that if you are a disciple of Jesus, you are the luckiest person on this planet. You are the most fortunate of people. You are in the most privileged of positions. You see the repeated refrain? If you've got a Bible in front of you, you'll see it there. It's this bit famously called the Beatitudes, which just comes from a Latin word for blessing. But it's there in the middle, isn't it? Blessed are. And then this cycle repeats. Blessed are, blessed are. He is describing nine blessings that he does give and he will give to those who have come to him, who have followed, who have left what they're doing, and who have come to him. Some of these blessings he will give us now, and some of these blessings he'll give us in the future. So what are these blessings? What is it that makes believers the luckiest people on this planet? Well, look at verse 3 and verse 10. It's kind of a sandwich, okay? So look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then come with me all the way down to verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessings for disciples now is the blessing that they have been granted a place, given a place in what Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps you could think of that like God's royal family. And the blessings that a disciple is privileged with is that they can now call the God of this universe, the God who made them, the God who we've turned our back on, a disciple is suddenly in the privileged position of being able to call them Father. Look at verse 16, just at the very end of what we read today. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. A disciple can call God Father. That's a remarkable thing. And just look at what the blessings that come to this royal family. So you've got this sandwich. Blessed are the kingdom of heaven is yours. You have a place right now. But look at all the things that are going to come to this royal family in the future. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Comfort in the face of mourning. Just think about that for a moment. There's much to mourn over, isn't there, in our world? Maybe some of you come this morning mourning in different ways. Mourning perhaps over the brokenness of our world. Mourning over things going on in your lives. But for the disciple, what is the blessing? They will be comforted. Look at verse 5. We're going to go through this quickly, okay, because we haven't got lots of time this morning. Verse 5, inheriting the earth. Wow. Disciples have the privileged position of one day inheriting the earth. Now, that may be a mind scratcher for you. You may have loads of questions about that. There's something the Bible talks about, but that is the blessing that he says belongs to disciples. Verse 6, filled with righteousness. You see that there? For they will be filled. Filled with righteousness. Righteousness in the Bible is a word that means behaving rightly, but it's all to do with our right standing before God. And then again in verse 7, what does it promise? It says mercy. Listen to these blessings. This is what makes disciples the most luckiest people on the world. Disciples will be shown mercy. God will show his family great mercy on that day of judgment. Verse 8, we're going to rock it through. Keep looking down. We will see God. Verse 9, we will be publicly identified as those who belong to God. There will be a day when disciples, God will say to them, these belong to me. These are my royal family. And then if you look down to verse 12, you'll see that great is their reward in heaven. This reward on a day to come. The best is yet to come. These are the blessings that Jesus gives to disciples. These are what make Jesus' followers the luckiest people in this world. And for these seven friends, as they stand up in a few moments and identify themselves as disciples, they are saying that Jesus has blessed us in this way. Jesus has given us these things, and he will give us these things. Jesus has made these seven friends the luckiest people on this planet. And I want you to notice that as we read this, this is not something that you earn. This is something that is given to you. See, this is something that you cannot get in any other way. See, that's really what our world's grappling for, isn't it? Lots of these things, people are making effort after effort to try and attain some of these things in this list. But actually, they're simply given to those who come to Jesus. And as well as describing to us the blessings that come to disciples, the blessings that are ours if you've come to him, actually this list describes something about the way that we should come to him. Did you notice that? Look at verse 3. What does it say there about the way we should come to Jesus? It says we should come to him poor in spirit. If you're physically poor, you know you have needs. When that bill comes in and you can't pay it, you panic because you know you have a need. But to be poor in spirit means to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we've got nothing. We've got no means. We've got no money. We've got no clean record. That means we should qualify for a place in your royal family. Then look at how it goes on. We come mourning, verse 4. We come meek, verse 5. We come, verse 6, hunger and thirsting for righteousness. You see how it goes on? It's describing the blessings of disciples, but it's also describing to us how we should come to the Lord Jesus. And people who know they're poor in spirit and have got something to mourn over, well, as they come to Jesus, Jesus blesses them. Now, how does Jesus bless people with these things? That's the question, isn't it? How does he bless anyone in a room like this with these amazing privileges? Well, it's because Jesus, the royal Son of God, came into this world and he was on a journey to a cross. And it was at the cross, in those horrific moments, if you know anything of the story, as he stood in our place, that was what was going on. In those moments, Jesus did everything needed to secure for us these wonderful blessings that he can say quite confidently belong to disciples. If you've been hanging around church a while, there's an old hymn that we used to sing regularly. And it has this line, it says this, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Now why? Why do we do that? Because we recognize that apart from Jesus, apart from coming to him, there is no way you can get these blessings. And that's why in verse 12, Jesus says to disciples, rejoice. Look down there. What does he say, verse 12? Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Because as you come to Jesus, he gives you these things. So, you still with me? The ABC of being a disciple. Disciples come to Jesus. Disciples are... good. I'm glad three of you are listening. That's good. Disciples are blessed by Jesus. And here's the first, third thing, the A of being a disciple. Disciples are then sent out as ambassadors for Jesus. I have a couple of kids at secondary school, and one of them's actually being baptized this morning, which is a great delight. But one of the things they always come home with when they go on a school trip is a letter. And in this letter, there's the same paragraph every time. And it says something like this. It says, your children must be wearing school uniform, full school uniform, when they go on the school trip. And if they're not wearing full school uniform, we will send them home. And then it also goes on to say about them representing the school. And so we want them to behave in a way that matches the school, which I'm not sure with my kids' school is the best reputation in the world anyway. But we'll leave that to aside. But here's the point. When they go on a school trip, they are sent out from the school as representatives. That's what the letter goes on about. They are wearing the uniform. They're to represent the school in their appearance and in their behavior. And in a similar way, you see, Jesus goes on to say the same thing about disciples. As those who have come to Jesus, as those who have put themselves as kind of dependent learners on Jesus, as those who have been blessed by Jesus, they must now display Jesus, display the royal family to the world in which we live. If I could paraphrase it, Jesus just says, be ambassadors for God's royal family. Now, Jesus does that with two images, okay? I want you to see that in the Bible here. He does this with two images. He says, verse 13, if you look there, he says, you are the salt of the earth. And then again, if you look at verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. Salt and light are two very distinctive things, aren't they? So if you're in a dark room and you turn on a light, it changes everything. If you have chips and no salt, they taste pretty bland. But you put salt on them, they suddenly taste a million times better. Salt and light are distinctive. They stand out. And here's the point Jesus is making. So should disciples stand out. It's distinctive, isn't it, to live as someone in our world who has come to Jesus and wants to be a learner from Jesus. That's distinctive. It's distinctive in our world to live as someone who is poor in spirit, to live as someone who mourns over sin, to live as someone who acts with meekness rather than grabbing for everything they can, to live as someone who longs to live God's right way, to live as someone who shows compassion to those around them, to live as someone who wants to have a pure heart. That's what the list is. If you live like that, that will make you stand out in this world. It's distinctive to live as someone who wants to stick with Jesus even when people are giving you a hard time for it. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. That is what he has made disciples. And if you live like he has made us to live, if you live like he describes in these words we have in front of us, you will be like a light on a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And so don't try and hide it away. Don't put it under a bowl. See, now look at verse 16. What does he call disciples to? In the same way, he says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus says, be ambassadors for God's royal family. Represent me, represent God here on earth. That is what disciples do. And these seven friends who we are going to baptize in a short while, they are those, if you're still following, who have come to Jesus. They have been blessed by Jesus, and they are now living as ambassadors for Jesus in this world. And why does Jesus send these seven friends out? Why does he put people, his disciples, in the world? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? So that others might come to know Jesus too. That others might come to him, be blessed by him, and then be sent out as salty and lighty. I know that's not a word, but it rhymes. Salty and lighty people into the world. And so can I ask you this morning, especially if you're here and you would say, yeah, I'm a disciple. Are you being an ambassador for God and his royal family? Or are you trying to kind of put your light under a bowl and hide it away so that it's just about me and God. Now, God uses disciples to shine in this world. Can I ask you, if you're here this morning, have you met a disciple? Maybe some of you have been invited just to see the baptisms today. And maybe the person being baptized is the first disciple you've ever encountered. And watch, because what's going on there is that they are going to show you what it looks like to be blessed by Jesus, to know Jesus, and hopefully through them you will come to him and discover how good Jesus is as well. Disciples of Jesus should shine for Jesus as we live in this world. Good. Are you all still alive? That's good. So here we go. What's happened to these seven friends? Well, the ABC of being a disciple. Disciples are those who have come to Jesus. Disciples are those who are blessed by Jesus, who've been made the luckiest people alive today, and they are sent out as ambassadors for Jesus. And that's what's happened to these seven friends. And that's what we're celebrating today. Friends, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song, and then we'll get on with the baptisms. God, our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you this morning for the generosity of our Lord Jesus, who not only calls us to himself, he doesn't just leave us heading the wrong way with a life that leaves you out, but then he blesses us, making us the most fortunate people in this world, granting us a place in your family, forgiving our sins, giving us an eternal inheritance with you. Father, thank you that he promises many blessings that are to come. Father, we praise you for Jesus. And Father, we again want to thank you for the work that you have chosen to do in these seven friends' lives that we'll baptize in a few moments. Father, thank you that they heard the call of Jesus to come. Father, thank you that you've blessed them. And thank you that you've now sent them out as ambassadors for you. Father, please today, would you be helping us to be what you've called us to be? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.